Chuck Collins, living in the working-class Boston neighborhood of Jamaica Plain, has spent a good deal of his life pondering the problems of rich and poor. Chuck's recent memoir, Born on Third Base, relates his story of growing up in an affluent family and being raised in the wealthy Detroit suburb of Bloomfield Hills, home to many executives of the auto industry.
My great-grandfather was the meatpacker Oscar Mayer, a German immigrant, opened a butcher shop in Chicago in 1886. The next generation grew it to become an even bigger company with a very successful jingle and brand and marketing, and the next generation took it to... By the time I came along, the company had actually, by the time I was 21, the company sold to General Foods. So it was no longer a family business as I came of age. But the fact of our connection to that meant that there's a fair amount of wealth that flowed down to my generation.
Now, you've said that being raised in great wealth sometimes creates a kind of narcotic of privilege. Can you describe that?
Yeah, I think one of the things wealth does is it's sort of a disconnection drug. It kind of keeps you apart from others. I grew up, not really knowing the struggles that most people experienced. And then over time, as I became kind of painfully aware of the inequalities, one of the ways I think you can cope with it is just to sort of numb out or disconnect or stay in sort of a bubble of privilege. Because I think to live in a society with extreme inequality and to be sort of open-hearted to that is hard.
But Chuck decided to become an activist. He coordinated a coalition of hundreds of organizations in Massachusetts concerned about affordable housing and maintaining a safety net for people who are vulnerable. He's lobbied to raise the minimum wage and promote greater fairness in our tax system. Back when Chuck was fresh out of college, he got a taste of how people live at the margins.
I got a job working with tenants who are trying to buy their apartment buildings and buy their mobile home parks. And that's where I really kind of had this very front row seat to how is it that these inequalities that were opening up in the 80s and 90s were really sort of affecting people in a very pocketbook way. And at the same time, I'm from this wealthy family and I'm surrounded by people with enormous wealth. So I also had a front row seat to wealth multiplying at the top, just people saying, oh, my house just tripled in value and I just bought another property. And so I was sort of watching this sort of parallel trend of stagnant wages and growing wealth and how it was playing out in people's lives.
And that troubled you?
Yeah, I had wealth that had been given to me at the age of 21, and It sort of doubled in about a four-year period, and through no effort of my own, no great investment savviness or labor on my own. So I just, on some level, I guess I felt like that's sort of wrong that I should have so much and that it should be doubling. And these people that I'm working with are struggling and taking on a second job and going into debt and just trying to hold it together. And that it was clear, really, the myth about deservedness didn't work for me. The story that, oh, your family worked harder, worked smarter, whatever, and these people didn't work as hard. The sort of dominant myth that holds these inequalities in place just didn't work for me. So it troubled me.
And that class divide in America feels like it has only intensified. This was on graphic display in the bruising, brutal...